Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
Well, one of the best things you can do for someone when they are struggling or in general is to pray for them. And you can offer them good wishes as well, but praying for someone is a really big gift. And the reality is that anyone can really pray for someone, and especially if you just kind of believe in a higher power. Offering a prayer for someone can be a real gift. Now, if you're a follower of Jesus and you believe in God, then you know that praying for someone is one of the best things that you can do for them, period, and one of the best things that you can do for them now, especially in these seasons of struggle that we're going through. But did you know that there are some different kinds of prayers? There are some helpful prayers, and there are some less helpful prayers. And the truth is that we need to make sure we're offering helpful prayers and not the less helpful prayers. Now, a helpful prayer or helpful prayers are prayers that show that you care for the other person, that you are listening to them when you pray for them, when you're trying to help them understand that you have some empathy for them. And when we're offering helpful prayers, oftentimes we might repeat something that they've said to help them know that we're listening. So giving someone a helpful prayer is a real gift. But then there are some less helpful prayers. And these less helpful prayers are when we're really trying to get God to do something for us, or to get God to do something for someone else, or to get God to make the world how you want it to be and not how God wants it to be. And the problem with these less helpful prayers is that God isn't going to listen to our prayers or just to do what we ask in this way. God is going to do what God wants, and God's going to do what God's decided. And so these less helpful prayers can be really problematic. Now, as you might hope, there is someone who offers up for us some really helpful prayers. And this person, as you might have expected, is Jesus. Jesus is someone who had really helpful and really good prayers because Jesus was the Son of God and Jesus was in connection with God. And one of the places that Jesus offers some very helpful and some really good prayers is in his last words, in his famous last words. And when we look to these, we can get an insight into what God wants for us. Now, if you were with us last week, we started a three-week series on these famous last words of Jesus. We've been looking at these, and this is week two of this, because these words anchor us in understanding what God wants for us and what Jesus was teaching when he was getting ready to leave his disciples. Because most of Jesus' last words come at the Last Supper, right before he was going to be arrested and crucified. And so whether his disciples understood it, he was preparing them in this moment for life after him, life after Jesus. And so those teachings prepared his disciples for the time that would come after his death and resurrection. And we today are in that same period of time after Jesus' death and resurrection, and we await for Jesus to return. And so looking at these teachings can be really helpful for us since we're in that same kind of timeline when it comes to God in this world. But also those teachings anchor us in the Last Supper. Help us understand what Jesus was doing with his disciples during that last Passover meal that they were going to celebrate together. And that's part of the Holy Week journey. And we're headed towards Holy Week, and we get ready for that with our Lenten journey and our understanding of our celebration in a couple of weeks of Palm Sunday and Easter. And when we look at these teachings, we can get a better sense of what Jesus wanted for us then and what Jesus wants for us now. Now, in particular, Jesus offers up a prayer for his disciples and a prayer for all of the followers of Jesus as part of this Last Supper and part of his famous last words. And in particular, Jesus actually spends quite a bit of time seemingly praying for his disciples and praying for all of us, as it were, with his famous last words. Actually, around 25% of what he said on that night, at least according to the Gospel of John, was him praying and offering these helpful prayers. And in particular, he gives us this helpful prayer that shows us and teaches about the commission that he has for his people, the goals that he has for his people, and the reason that he has for them to pursue the commission and the goal. And in these teachings, Jesus offers us a sense of what he wanted for his disciples then and what he wants for us now. Now, we need to understand, it's been specific, that Jesus was teaching his 11 male disciples, because Judas had already left by this point, and he was also probably teaching a handful or more of women that were around there as well. But we need to remember that Jesus was teaching to a little bit larger group of people and understanding what was going on and what he wanted for them. And so the first thing that he offers to them, and still for us today, because remember, we're in that same timeline, is he teaches and he prays this for them. His prayer in this commission part of what he taught it is this: as you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. This is the prayer that Jesus has for his disciples, and that's the prayer that he has for us now. And what he's teaching them is that God had sent him into the world, and that God was then sending them into the world, that he was sending them into the world. What he was praying and reminding his disciples then is that he was on a divine mission from God to change and save the world. And what Jesus was praying over and instilling in his disciples was a reminder and a prayer for God that Jesus was going to send them into the world to change the world and to do their part to help save the world. This was a reminder that God had sent Jesus on a mission and that God was sending them on a mission. That Jesus was his divine agent in the world, God's divine agent in the world, and that Jesus' followers were going to be God's divine agents in the world. And this would have been something that would have been very compelling and very helpful for his disciples then to hear and hearing us now. That God has sent us into the world to be divine agents to do God's work in the world. And that God is counting on us to do our part to help people experience what God wants for the world. Now that was the commission that he was offering to them as a reminder that Jesus was on a divine mission and that they were going to be on a divine mission. But he was also offering them a sense of the goal, what they were trying to accomplish through this mission that they were on. And what Jesus articulates is this. He prays then, I ask not only on behalf of these being his disciples and the men and women that were there, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. Jesus was praying for his disciples, but also for all who would follow, that we would be one. So Jesus had the disciples on a divine mission, and the divine mission was to bring about unity, to bring about oneness amongst his followers. Not uniformity. He didn't want us to all be the same. But what he was preaching and praying over them was that through their divine mission to the world, the commission of the mission that they were on, that they would help people who were followers of Jesus to be one. And that this was the goal that they were going to have, that as people became more and more followers of Jesus, that they would find unity of purpose, unity in love, unity in the goal that God had for them to help others come to know that love, to understand that God had sent Jesus and that God had sent people, his followers, the church, to help people understand and know that they were loved by God. And this was the goal that they had. But Jesus was also praying over the reason that he was having them sent. And the reason that Jesus was sending was so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. That was the reason that Jesus was praying. That was the purpose that God was fulfilling in the prayer through Jesus, was to help people be reminded and be taught the reason that Jesus was sending people was so that all people could know that they were loved, even as God had loved Jesus. Now, again, we hear that and we have an understanding of this and we go, oh yeah, of course, God loves us. That's bedrock understanding of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. But we have to remember that at the time, people were really wondering whether God loved them. People were wondering, especially the Jews, and remember, Jesus was Jewish. People were wondering if God was still with them. Now remember that Jesus and his early followers as Jewish people would have been finding themselves in a place where they had been conquered time and time again by every global empire who had rolled through, had walked through, rode the chariots through that area. And every time they had been conquered, they would have thought more and more that God had abandoned them. And if God had abandoned them, that God hadn't loved them again. And so think about where they would have been by the time they got to the Roman Empire and Roman Empire having conquered them. Many people might have given up on the sense that God loved them. So they needed to be reminded and shown that God loved them. Now Jesus would come and Jesus would show everybody the ultimate power of God's love to defeat the power of sin and death. But then Jesus was praying and reminding his disciples that the way that many people would come to know that God had actually changed the world and that God had changed God's followers, the church, followers of Jesus, is that we would pursue unity, that we would pursue oneness. I mean, can you think of a better example of a sign that God has changed you, that God has changed me, than when we pursue the same things in God's name, that we don't let the divisions be what define us, but rather the unity that we have? That's what Jesus was praying over us, that we would pursue unity so that people could see that God had changed us and that God had changed the world. It's like Jesus knew then what is still true now, that people are seemingly drawn to division and not drawn to unity. Because Jesus knew this, he knew that it's easier to be divided and that it's hard to be united. And so we need to be reminded of the fact that we are to pursue unity, otherwise we will default into division. And the fact of the matter is that Jesus knew that this was going to be a testimony to all people of the power of God's love, that the differences that between us could be put aside so that we could focus on pursuing the unity of the mission that God has for us. And when Jesus was praying over his disciples, when he was showing them that they were going to be commissioned for God's work in the world, that they had a goal of bringing about unity, and the reason was so that all people could know that they were loved by God, this prayer would have resonated deeply with the disciples. This prayer would have resonated deeply with anybody who was there that night. And you know how we know? It's because they would go on to tell people about it. Whoever put the Gospel of John together, he wasn't there, or she wasn't there. That gospel came much later on. So the people who were there that night heard that prayer and were inspired by the teachings of Jesus and then went out on to live it out. And that example is the one that lives on in followers of Jesus today. That when we live into and lean into the teachings of Jesus, we can help the world see that they're loved. It's not a global empire these days conquering other countries that causes people to doubt whether God is real or not. But we can show people that God has changed us, that a real God has changed us by pursuing unity, unity of purpose. One of the challenges we have is that we act like unity is optional, but Jesus prays for it. Jesus prays for unity because it's essential in doing God's work in the world. And when we pursue unity, we pursue what God wants for us. So whether you're part of Niles Community Church or Park Ridge Presbyterian Church or any local church, or you're a follower of Jesus pursuing what God wants, we need together to pursue unity. We need to pursue oneness. Because when we pursue oneness, we show the world that God has changed us, that God has brought us together so that we can help others know that God loves them. Jesus spends a good bit of his last words, his last free moment before he would be arrested. He spends those precious words teaching his disciples then and reminding us now of the value of pursuing unity. The value of pursuing unity is to help people understand that God has changed us and that God has changed the world so that they can know that God loves them. So let's pursue unity in all that we do.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.